This is Money in Motion with Klaus Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
And if you have questions for our retirement planning professionals from Klaus Financial, now is a great opportunity to get you on the air. 321-1310. That's 321-1310. Joined this morning by CJ Klaus and Malia Cuevas of Klaus Financial. You can learn more about the team online, klausfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. You can learn a little bit about their history. You can learn about the separate divisions at Klaus Financial. You can also sign up for the weekly Market Pulse newsletter. It's a fantastic email you get once a week in your inbox. It's got a link to the most recent podcast, as well as some information as to what's going on currently in the markets. Again, that all up at klausfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. And the telephone number for the office right here in Madison. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment with Klaus Financial. It is complimentary. Their telephone number, 442-5637. That's 442-5637. And as mentioned, joining us this morning from Klaus Financial are CJ Klaus and Malia Cuevas. How are you guys doing today?
Good morning, Sean. I'm doing great. How have you been?
I'm doing really well. Great to talk with you today. And Malia, how are you on this beautiful-ish morning?
Yeah, a little hazy. We're doing great, and we're happy to be here, as always.
It's happy to have you along, and we've got a great conversation, an important one, and a popular conversation as well. We're going to be talking about Social Security. When should you, and kind of the guidance, should you wait, should you take it early, all that stuff. So it's going to be a great conversation ahead, a great opportunity as well to get on the air with CJ and Malia. All you got to do is give us a call at 321-1310. That's 321-1310, and we'll get you on the air with our retirement planning professionals from Klaus Financial. Fantastic feature as well as the show. Not only all the great information, but a great opportunity to win a fantastic prize. This week, no exception. The folks from Klaus Financial got a $25 gift card to Chili's, a chance for you to win that a little bit later on in the program with the Klaus Quiz Question of the Week. Little tip, listen closely to the program. Typically, both the question and answer come up during the show, so you get a little leg up on everybody else. And before we get rolling, actually, on this week's conversation about Social Security, let's take a look back at last week's program and talk about the Klaus Quiz Question of the Week and get the question and answer as well.
Yes, so we had lots of listeners last week. We discussed your possible estate and what could happen when it's left for your beneficiaries. So just a look at inheritance. So if that might, you know, kind of make you think, what will happen if I do go to inherit funds? You might want to listen to our podcast. But congratulations to our winner last week, Tom of Madison, correctly answered the following question. In 2021, if your estate is worth less than $11.7 million, will your beneficiaries likely have to pay federal estate taxes? And he correctly answered, no. So listen to that podcast if that's something you're wondering what will happen if you inherit the big dollars.
Yes. And a lot of really good information on last week's and all the previous shows podcasts as well. As you mentioned, Malia, you can listen back to those. Just head on over to klausfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. You can subscribe there as well to the podcast. As mentioned, we are going to be discussing this week about whether or not it makes sense to delay taking your Social Security benefit until the age of 70, and of course taking advantage of that 8% credits that take place. What's kind of the guidance there? What do folks need to know about this stuff?
Yeah, we always come back to this topic of Social Security because it impacts most Americans and a lot of those who are listening to us today. And so Social Security remains a super important part of your future retirement income. And for some, it may perhaps be your only source of income. Actually, believe it or not, over 20% of the retired population, Social Security is their only source of income. So it's important that you understand it. So before we get to that, should I wait, you know, to get these 8% credits that I hear about, I just want to give you a couple of orientation reminders. So the first thing you need to think about is when can you first take your own Social Security benefit versus perhaps when is the ideal time to take it. So you can choose to collect your own Social Security benefit as early as age 62 or any time up until your age 70. You could technically wait beyond age 70, but there's no real reason to. So again, earliest is 62 up until age 70. Now, those who collect early, which is anything prior to your full retirement age, according to Social Security, is considered taking it early. So again, early is not before 70. Early is before your full retirement age. So, of course, the question is, well, what is my full retirement age? So Social Security has identified your FRA, or full retirement age, as follows. If you were born between 1943 and 1954, your full retirement age is age 66. If you were born between 1955 and 1959, your full retirement age is 66 plus some number of months, 2 months, 4 months, 6 months, so on and so forth. And if you were born after 1960, as I was, your full retirement age is age 67. So there's kind of three critical ages when you think of your own Social Security benefit. 62, which is the earliest you can draw. Your full retirement age, which is somewhere between 66 and 67, depending upon when you were born. And finally, age 70. Now, if you wait to take your benefit, the question is, how much more can you receive? So this brings us to our main topic today. When you delay your retirement past your full retirement age, Social Security benefits are increased at a certain percentage, depending upon your date of birth. If you delay receiving benefits until after reaching your full retirement age, so think of this after, say, 67 in my case, then these things called delayed retirement credits can allow your benefit to increase up to 8% per year until you start taking those benefits or until you reach age 70. So to be clear, delayed retirement credits of 8% per year will be applied to your Social Security benefit if you wait to collect your benefit past your full retirement age. So again, if you draw early, which is anything before full retirement age, there's going to be some sort of a reduction. At full retirement age, they consider that an unreduced benefit. However, if you wait after, again, 67 in my example, up until age 70, for each year you wait, there is an 8% delayed retirement credit. Gosh, this stuff is complex, isn't it?
Yeah.
As I'm explaining it, I'm going, oh, goodness gracious. But hopefully this is making sense. So again, if you collect your benefit early, your payment will be reduced by as much as 30%. So think of this in my case, my full retirement age is age 67. But my benefit, if I drew at 62, my benefit would be reduced by 30%+. But if you wait and apply your payments, if you wait until later, until say age 70, so after your full retirement age, your benefit can go up an additional 32% beyond your full retirement benefit age. So some really big factors to be aware there. As a matter of fact, if you were to look at your benefit and say, what if I drew at 62 versus 70? The numbers are dramatically different on a monthly basis. So you really want to slow down. Take a look at this. Matter of fact, final little interesting fact here. According to Social Security, only 5% of men and 7% of women wait until age 70 to collect their benefits. Let that sink in. That just means that people,
obviously,
they're not. They just cannot keep their fingers off that Social Security benefit. And we would say, what we would say is, it doesn't mean you should wait to 70, right? Just because we're telling you all these things, it doesn't mean you should wait. And there's a lot of math that goes into it. It's based on your needs. We've talked about this before. However, we would make the statement or the argument that the average American draws their Social Security benefit too early. I think that's a takeaway from today. Average American probably draws it too early.
It's interesting, too, as we try and calculate and figure out what our Social Security benefit will be. We're going to get some great information on that. You've probably wondered that as well. There's some great resources and great tools out there. We'll talk with CJ and Malia about that. We'll also take your call, your question, with our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. All you got to do is pick up the phone and give us a ring here at the station right now. The telephone number, 321-1310. That's 321-1310. Of course, you can learn more about Kloss Financial online, their website, klossfinancial.com. That's spelled K-L-A-A-S financial.com. Great opportunity to learn more about Kloss Financial. Also sign up for that weekly Market Pulse newsletter. Again, the website, klossfinancial.com, and the telephone number, the office right here in Madison, 442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It is complimentary to you. Again, their number, 442-5637. We'll continue our conversation with CJ and Malin. We'll talk about how you can find out what your Social Security benefit is projected to be, where that's located, also how it's currently funded, and some other great stuff, as well as your call next as Money in Motion with Kloss Financial continues right here on 1310 WIBA.
This is Money in Motion with Klaus Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
Having a great conversation this morning with our retirement planning professionals from Klaus Financial, CJ Klaus and Malia Cuevas. If you've got questions for Malia and CJ, we would love to get you on the air right now at 321-1310. That's 321-1310 to get on the air with your question here at Money in Motion and 1310 WIBA. Klaus Financial, the website, KlausFinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. Great website, great resource to learn more about Klaus Financial. Also sign up for that weekly Market Pulse newsletter. And their telephone number, 442-5637. That's 442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Klaus Financial. It is complimentary. And as we talk Social Security this morning, and always those questions of when to take my Social Security, also people wonder is what about my Social Security? What exactly will my benefit be? And there's some great resources out there to find kind of projected benefits for Social Security, aren't there?
There sure are. And, you know, I think the question really is, show me the money. That's all people want to know.
Yes.
What's it look like? And that's why we talk about this topic frequently on our show. So, again, if you've not previously done so, we suggest you go to SSA.gov, which is a secure website by Social Security. Set up your individual account and log in at any time. They have some wonderful benefit calculators on there. So you can see a CJ mentioned the impact of waiting to take your benefit at a later point. But again, a lot of factors involved as to when is the right time for you currently. So they do have a brand new Social Security statement, which looks really nice. I recently saw ours. So take a look at that. The Social Security statement for yourself will tell you your full retirement age, if it's, age 66 in a few months or 67. It provides a retirement benefit estimate for age 62, which we said was the first time you're eligible. Also your FRA, your full retirement age, and finally age 70. So this age 62 benefit estimate incorporates that reduction we were speaking of. Age 70 benefit estimates the delayed retirement credits. So really nice to see those numbers, and really makes you start to think of what might make sense for yourself. So the question is, when should I take my benefit? So again, it's generally advisable to wait until you've reached that full retirement age. And again, knowing what that age is kind of gives you an idea. Can I hang on a couple more years? Do I have other sources of income, spousal income or part-time income? It really has to do with how long you think you might live. Longevity plays a factor into when you may consider taking your benefit. So as we spoke of, collecting the delayed retirement credits will create a higher benefit. So many people say, well, you know, so my full retirement age is the highest benefit I could possibly receive. Well, as we said, that is your highest benefit without a reduction. However, obviously, if you wait for the delayed retirement credits to start adding up, that would be your highest dollars you could receive if you refrain from taking it to age 70. So again, what is the actual reduction in my benefits? So an example is, if your retirement age is 66 and 2 months, 66 years, and say you started receiving that benefit as early as age 62, you're only going to receive 74.2% of your monthly benefit. And if you wait till age 65, you'll get only 92.2%. So, and again, people get confused with age 65. Of course, that's the first time you're eligible for Medicare, which is the national health insurance program everybody anxiously waits to get on. So just be clear, you are taking a reduction in benefit if you don't start, or if you start before your full retirement age. So again, when is the best time for you to begin? Sean's going to wait till he's age 90. So he knows that's the best time for him, but it depends for all the rest of us, other sources of income, and potential benefits you might be receiving, maybe from pensions or other items, and income sources.
And you know, I'm a good guy. So I figure that that extra 20 years, the U.S. government could use.
They
that
need your money.
Yes, exactly. Talking this morning.
How generous, yeah, Sean. How generous.
Yeah, thank you. Talking with our retirement planning professionals this morning from Claus Financial, CJ Claus and Malia Cuevas. Love to get you on the air with your question at 321-1310. That's 321-1310. Speaking of funding, how exactly is Social Security currently funded?
Yeah, so a lot of people scratch their heads. They're always like, I you know, because they hear things that is it funded the way it needs to be and so forth. The fact is it's actually funded through a dedicated payroll tax. So that's when you're looking at your pay stub and you're like, oh my goodness, all this money's coming out. Where is it going? Well, so a total of 12.4% is collected from payroll taxes. Half of that, 6.2%, comes out of your wages. That's what you're paying in. Your employer's adding another 6.2%. Unless you're self-employed and you get that entire 12.4% that you need to be paying into Social Security. So that's kind of a aha moment for a lot of people who are self-employed. So your actual payment, though, is calculated by taking a 35-year average of your covered wages for your highest years. So what's interesting to know is that your wages for all of those 35 years are adjusted for inflation before being averaged, because that's kind of a confusing thing for people if they look back 25 years ago and say, well, I only earned, you know, a few thousand dollars. How does that all work out? And then an important note also about Social Security is there are cost of living benefits, and those actually increase. They start with the year that you become age 62. So this is true even if you don't get benefits until your full retirement age or age 70. So when we have periods of inflation, this can have, you know, obviously a negative effect on budgets of retirees. But what we look at sometimes is, you know, depending on the cost of living, if we see, and, you know, like we're seeing right now, some inflationary upward ticks, that, you know, next year, how are our retirees going to handle that? And so we really haven't seen hardly any inflation for several years. And we saw just this year, just a slight bump up. But the conversation on the street, it hasn't been written into law yet, but the conversation on the street right now is they're estimating the cost of living range will probably be between 5.3 to 6.1%, potentially increasing those Social Security benefits. And we've not seen that type of adjustment since 2009. So that's pretty big. That would affect nearly 69 million people that are receiving Social Security benefits. So again, cost of living increase looks like it probably will happen for most people collecting Social Security next year.
Definitely something we'll be watching and monitoring here on the program, that is for sure. If you've got a question for CJ Malia, love to get you on the air right now at 321-1310. That's 321-1310. And Paul joins us. And Paul, you're near retirement and you've got a question for CJ and Malia. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi, thanks. The only question that I really have is, since I'm going to be retiring, my official the date is October 12th, December 12th, when I can start to collect. And I was wondering, how soon should I contact Social Security so I can get that underway?
It's a great question. Malia, do you want to answer that one?
Yeah, actually, we had a listener write in a question that sounds just like that today. So actually, if you want your benefits to start, as you said, in December, you are going to want to apply within 3 months of that date with Social Security. Just make sure that when you do go to apply, you want to make sure that you assign an amount of withholding you'll want to do from your Social Security when you do that at the time of application. It's actually kind of not very obvious when you go to fill that out. It's not very clearly spelled out, but make sure you perhaps consider withholding some tax, because people are surprised that up to 85% of your Social Security could be taxed. So plan ahead. 3 months makes sense for most people.
Okay, that sounds very good. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Congratulations on getting a future benefit. That's great.
That is excellent to hear, Paul. Thank you for the call. We go now to Brenda. Brenda, welcome to the program. You're on the air with CJ Kloss and Malia Cuevas of Kloss Financial.
Good morning. Thanks for taking
my call.
My question is, I'm 6 years younger than my spouse, and the calculations that we've ran are telling me to claim at 62 and let his grow. And I'm not sure. I know I will get a reduced benefit on my end, but when I start, when he claims and I get spousal benefits, are his reduced to me too?
No. As a matter of fact, from what you're describing, that is often what we see couples do, is that they will have one of them draw earlier. Now, it may not be 62 in all circumstances, but just earlier in general. Mm-hmm. And then they will allow the higher benefit earner, we'll just call it the higher lifetime earner's benefit, to accrue as long as possible to age, you know, hypothetically to age 70, as long as they can. And what that ends up doing is it builds an insurance policy for you and your spouse. So what do I mean by that? Well, because one of the benefits has been maxed out now, right? It's as high as it can possibly be. And then if you were to pass away, your spouse keeps the larger of the two. And if he were to pass away, you also keep the larger of the two. So what it ends up doing is you get some income in the short run for the lower benefit amount, but you're creating this long-term insurance plan for the family of this really high benefit, so that if one of you dies, you keep the higher benefit. Does that make sense?
Yes, but what if, say, I'm 62 and he's 68 and he says, well, I want to claim. So then it doesn't make sense for me to begin yet then, would it? Because...
No, it still could, because what's going to happen is if you're not 50% of his, at the point of him drawing, you're going to get a bump up in benefit.
Okay.
So by you drawing early, it's not going to reduce your bump up significantly in the future.
Okay.
It may have a slight reduction in your benefit, but not a huge one. Now, if you wanted to come in, well, whatever. If you wanted to come in or talk to Social Security Administration, they can actually show you a calculation difference if you waited longer. Right, until waiting until he draws and then you draw 50% of his. But the difference between the two, I don't think would be as significant as you're thinking.
Okay, good to know.
Brenda, great question this morning. Great questions all around. And don't forget, we do this each and every Thursday morning with our friends from Kloss Financial. You can call in for the show. Also, if you've got questions, no charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It is complimentary to you. Their telephone number, 442-5637. The website, klossfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. We'll talk credits. We'll talk Kloss Quiz Question of the Week and talk a little bit more about, of course, Social Security. We'll do that next as Money in Motion with Kloss Financial continues here on 1310 WIBA.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
Great conversation this week, as we do each and every week here on Money in Motion with Kloss Financial. Don't forget, you can listen back to this week's show. Maybe you missed part of the program, stopped out to pick up a cup of coffee, or you know, just kind of got had something going on in the drive-thru or whatever this morning. You missed part of the program. Don't forget, you can always listen back at klossfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S. Financial.com. Listen back to this as well as the previous show's podcasts. The telephone number for Kloss Financial, 442-5637. That's 442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It is complimentary. Talking Social Security this morning, which is always a very popular conversation, very popular topic. And one of those areas where people often wonder about, as we were just talking about, what my benefit will be or how to calculate what my benefit is projected to be, is how do we get to that point, like with credits, and how do they determine that stuff? How does kind of the inner workings of Social Security benefit, how does that work on kind of on the backside with your own record?
Yeah, so this is where it starts to get confusing and where the calculations actually come in, but stick with us here. So credits are the building blocks Social Security uses to find out whether you have the minimum amount of covered work to actually qualify for a Social Security benefit. Most people, or I should say for most people, the minimum number of credits they need to qualify for a benefit is 40 credits. But when you hear the term credit, think working quarters. Okay, so you have to have enough quarters of work. And when I say quarter, think calendar quarter, right? There's four quarters in a year. So 40 credits, if you took 40 divided by four, you end up with 10. And so you go, you need about 10 years of working income, or 40 quarters. If you stop working before you have enough credits to qualify for benefits, your credits will stay on record, but it'll just basically say on your benefit that there's you don't have a benefit. So again, if you don't have those 40 credits, you're not currently entitled to a benefit, but you may become entitled with additional work. So you can go to the SSA.gov website and go to a section called How You Can Earn More Credits.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think we're both going to ask the same thing, which is what about spouse's benefits?
And
I think
it's right. Exactly. So if you're not entitled to retirement benefits based on your own record, you may still be entitled to benefits on the work record of a current or divorced spouse. So for more information on this, you can read about survivor's benefits or spouse benefits on the Social Security Administration website. They also have a variety of calculators you can use to try to actually come up with a calculation of what you think that benefit would be. So again, on your own record, you need at least 10 years or 40 quarters or 40 credits, as they call it, to qualify for a benefit. However, if you've listened to our show, you know that that's the minimum to qualify for a benefit. However, it's your 35 highest inflation adjusted years of work that they use. So think of that as you start with 35 zeros on your record. And as you start earning income, they start filling in those zeros with years of income. And so obviously, if you replace a zero with even $1, it's going to help your benefit. This is one of the reasons why when people say, well, you know, what if my income is lower later on? I go, well, you're probably replacing a zero with something, so it's going to help you. Now, spouse's benefits are interesting. You have to be at least 62 years of age or any age and caring for a child entitled to receive benefits on your spouse's record, or a child that's over 16 but disabled. But long story short, to qualify for those spouse's benefits, you have to be at least 62 years of age. If you start receiving benefits as a spouse at your full retirement age, you will get 50% of the monthly benefit of your spouse, of what your spouse would have received if their benefits had started at full retirement age. Goodness, even as I'm saying all of this, I just go, I've had to read this myself like 20 times before I finally, it like clicked. So I can't fathom that all of you are listening and going, oh, I get it. But here's what I would say. There are calculations. There is rationale. There are reasons behind the way they do this. And I would just encourage all of you, if you are a spouse, you think you're entitled to a benefit on a divorced former spouse, or if you are a widow or a widower and you think there's benefits there, I would just really highly encourage you, get into SSA.gov, talk to Social Security Administration, or heck, come talk to us and we can try to help you build a calculation.
Really, really important information to have, and really, really important stuff to understand before you decide to take that Social Security. There's a lot of different implications and definitely something you want to think about before you do that. The folks at Kloss Financial would love to talk with you. Don't forget that initial appointment at Kloss Financial. It is complimentary. Their telephone number, 442-5637. That's 442-5637 for Kloss Financial. Don't forget as well, that's the number you're going to call in just a moment for the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. And of course, it is time now for the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. It works like this. I'll ask you the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week in just a moment. From that point, you'll have 30 minutes from the end of today's program to call the Kloss Financial office right here in Madison at 608-442-5637. If you are the first caller with the correct answer to this week's Kloss Quiz Question of the Week, you win this week's prize, which is a $25 gift card to Chili's. This week's Kloss Quiz Question of the Week is this. Is the following statement true or false? Delayed retirement credits, 8% per year, will be applied to my Social Security benefit if I wait to collect my benefit past my full retirement age, also known as FRA. Is that true or is that false? First call with correct answer to the Kloss Financial office right here in Madison will win that $25 gift card to Chili's. Don't forget again as well, no charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It is complimentary. Their telephone number, 442-5637. That's 442-5637. CJ, Malia, it is always fantastic hanging out with you guys. You guys have a beautiful day.
You too.
Thanks.
Check in with news next right here on 1310 WIBA.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial Asset Advisors, LLC, a registered investment advisor registered with the SEC. The content of this show is for informational purposes only and should not be considered individual investment advice. Kloss Financial does not offer tax or legal advice. Any opinion offered during the course of this show is the opinion of that particular investment advisor representative and not necessarily the opinion of Kloss Financial.